The views expressed in this podcast do not represent the views of the Organization of American States, its Secretary General, or its member states. Keep listening to find out more in this episode.
Welcome to a new episode of The Zone, a podcast that serves as a platform for a constructive dialogue amongst those who live in the adjacency zone to discuss relevant issues with a local perspective presented by young people from Belize and Guatemala under the coordination of the OAS office in the adjacency zone and with the support of the Spanish Agency for International Development Cooperation. We're so happy to be back recording one more episode of the podcast. The goal for this episode is to bring awareness about different species in danger of extinction in this part of the world.
I'm ready to start this discussion, but I must mention that today's topic can be disheartening. But we always try to keep it things on the positive side. So we hope to also use this platform to highlight heroes that are offering protection service of both global and local levels.
Are you ready to dive into today's topic?
Yes, of course. Let's do this. I have my biology thinking cap on. To our regular listeners, remember to share your opinions to the contact number 501-610-6284. This would help us to know what you want us to talk about next in the Zone podcast.
Right. So we have some curious listeners out there that are always eager to learn something new. So I must state that by the term species, we refer to animals and also trees, coral, fungus, and any other forms of life on Earth. Can you share with us what you mean when a species goes extinct?
I must mention that extinction has been a natural part of the planet's history, and at least 900 species have gone extinct in the last 5 centuries. But going back to the definition, National Geographic states that this action in a very concise way, and that is that extinction is a dying out of species.
Thanks so much for sharing that short definition with us. But now what comes to my mind is the fact that Earth has had several mass extinctions, actually.
You're totally right. And this occurs when large percentage of planet species become extinct in a short amount of time, which has happened 5 times. One that we might have heard all about was the Cretaceous period, which killed off all the dinosaurs.
With so much wildlife around us in Melchor de Mencos in Guatemala and Benque Viejo del Carmen in Belize, it's difficult to imagine how the Earth must have looked like during those periods where life on Earth was nearly wiped out completely.
You know, we're currently living in a unique period of humanity. Despite extinction being something natural for the world, human activity have definitely influenced what is often considered accelerated extinction.
You know, the term accelerated extinction, that's actually really hard to like fathom that that's a phrase that even exists. Accelerated extinction, like it's something that we as human beings are causing. And I think in today's day and age, we have just become so accustomed to just like living out our lives without any consequences whatsoever, when the truth is we actually contribute to so much of the destruction of our wildlife and our natural environments. And it's really disheartening to hear that accelerated extinction is something that exists.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. I mean, and here, if we're not being part of the solution, then we're being part of the problem, and then we're the ones who are taking the world to this point.
For a little while, from the 1500s to 2020, there have been an estimated 900 species that have gone extinct, with the main categories including birds, mammals, and fish.
Those are shocking facts to learn about, and my concern is that we cannot get accustomed to watch the list get longer and longer without taking responsibility and taking action.
So Gisela, did you know that actually more than 1500 species of animals are endangered in Central America?
Oh, really? I didn't know that. That's actually shocking.
Yeah, unfortunately, one of the main reasons it's illegal trafficking of animals, such as birds, reptiles, and amphibians captured in their natural habitat and sold off to be petted.
And from my understanding, this type of trade has become one of the most lucrative worldwide. How about we mention the top 5 animals in danger of extinction in Belize and Guatemala?
Sure thing. The list includes the Kubera snapper, the Mesoamerican river turtle, the jaguar, and the yellow-headed Amazon parrots. I must say that the reason why such species as the Kubera snapper is at risk is that it's an actually a game fish, which is actually targeted by fishers because the fish actually puts up a bit of a challenge for the fishermen, which is what they look for, which is why they really find thrill in doing that. So it's really unfortunate what the fish has to face.
This is also the case of the Mesoamerican river turtle, as it has also been added to the list because humans hunt it primarily for meat, eggs, and its shells.
It's really disheartening to hear, and to add to the species of trees to the list, rosewood has made it to the list as well. It's been subject to illegal logging since it's highly prized wood found only in Belize. This is used to create musical instruments and sculptures.
Now, moving on to the case of the watermelon gazelle, a bird of the dragon family with iridescent green plumage and typically red underparts, which is also the national bird. On the list, we can add the spider monkey, the giant anteater, the Tabasco mud turtle, and the leopard.
So as you know, the leopard, just like how it looks, the entire population of great cats of Latin America continues to be at risk due to the deforestation and, of course, human activity that hunts them illegally for their skin and teeth. As we continue this conversation, the motives and reasons for many species going extinct or being an endangered list is evident.
I must also mention the other reasons why this is happening. The modern cause of extinction include the destruction of wildlife habitat, exploitation, invasive species, climate change, and of course, pollution.
All of which are caused by human activity, by the way. We have a direct impact because with the destruction of our natural environments, we also forget that this is home to so much biodiversity and an important piece of the puzzle for our own survival.
The act of overexploitation that includes hunting, overfishing and poaching in our communities like Belize and Guatemala, poaching targets many bird species such as parrots. When they are poaching and become part of the illegal trade and part of the black market and keep parrots at a risk of being poached.
Not to drift too far from the topic, but something that is not widely discussed is that also there's a link between human disease and wildlife poaching, as the case of Ebola outbreak in Africa, that was actually traced back to the consumption of primates. But another reason being the introduction of invasive species, either intentionally or by accident, cause an imbalance in the natural habitat.
One of three species suffer because of this cause. I can think about the case of Belize and the Caribbean region. For instance, with the introduction of lionfish that was first imported to the tropics for their use in aquariums.
So when the lionfish first made its way into our reefs, they actually gained dominance, which resulted in a native fish population being diminished. Quick story, fun fact, actually one of my friends was actually severely injured by a lionfish. Thank goodness he's doing really well now, but it just goes to show that lionfish just aren't a danger to our native fish, but also to ourselves as well.
Oh, well, thank you so much for sharing that story with us. I mean, I'm really glad he's doing okay now. Now, coming back to the lionfish, I'm familiar with this case and I admire the way which the government managed to keep it under control by launching consumption campaigns before it caused any more devastating damage to our marine ecosystems.
Yeah, we must mention the importance of global initiatives taking action, such as the Worldwide Fund for Nature, better known as the WWF.
You're totally right. Currently, it is the largest investment NGO around the world, but it all started when a young man traveled to Africa and witnessed and noticed excessive hunting of animals. When he returned home, he decided to start a movement for protection of animals.
Coming back to the topic of protection of animals, in Belize, I know it's become very often that you see stray dogs or stray cats, you know, on the streets just roaming around. But I also think it's important to really say a huge thank you to the organizations out there who are doing their best to protect these animals. They might not be on the endangered species list, but it's still overall a great thing what they're doing to protect just wildlife and animals and our man's best friend, because it's really important to care for all of our wildlife.
Yes, and personally, I do think that if we have the option to adopt a dog or a cat, regardless of it breed, I have two dogs which I adopted, and they're just lovely and they're just amazing, and I was just shocked when I saw them on the street. Then they start coming to my house, And I just give them food and then they stay there and they are my dogs now.
I love that story. Yeah, so many great organizations. They're doing so many amazing things for all of our animals. Coming back to the NGOs, we also have to highlight that they have a great programs that offer educational opportunities and support for conservation centers, research programs, and of course, environmental programs. The WWF serves as an example of what passion and commitment can become and have an impact on. So now that we know what species are found on the list of critically endangered in our communities and region, we must get to know what's being done regarding their protection.
Now, coming up, we have the next informative material. So stay tuned and join us in our next segment as we highlight local initiatives.
This is Babe. He's a Red Lord Amazon parrot. He's kind of very special because he can fly really well, he can see really well, and he behaves like a wild parrot. He's obviously missing a vital piece of his anatomy, which would enable him to live well into the wild. His next best option is to stay with the flock and live out his life at BBR, which is kind of a shame for an otherwise healthy bird. Maybe one day he will be able to function well enough to go into the wild, which would be an amazing result for him. There's 9 species of native parrot in Belize, and we will care for all of them at any one time. The majority of our birds are the species the same as Babe here, the Red Lord, and also the white front parrot. They seem to be the ones that we see the most of. The most difficult one to rehab is the yellow-headed parrot, and that's also the endangered bird that's only found here in Belize. It's a unique subspecies, very highly sought after for its talking ability, which makes the job even more difficult to protect these amazing birds. There's fewer than 1,600 of them left in the country. So far, we've put back 150 back into the wild, which is a pretty good percentage of the wild population. They face a lot of threats with habitat loss, illegal logging, fires, and poaching for the pet trade. In the end, these really are wild animals, and even if you put them in a cage and you clip their wings, they're still going to be a wild animal, and they're never going to be happy, and they're never going to be healthy. The very best place for these birds is in the wild. If you come across one that's injured or hurt, we can definitely help them out and get them back into the wild. And if you do have a pet and you feel that he's not happy and having a fulfilled life, please consider surrendering to us, and we can then maybe rehabilitate him and put him back in the wild where he can make more parrots for us all to enjoy.
Very well made video. Loved how it captured exactly what the important issues, a lot of important issues that face a lot of the birds on the endangered species list in Belize. It was actually made by our friend Pablo, which is pretty cool. Amazing videographer. One thing that really caught my attention was the statistics that they mentioned. Only 1,500 species of yellow-headed parrots left in the wild within the whole world. That's super crazy statistic, and it's so incredibly low for that parrot, and it's sad to hear that they're just hunted because they're good at what they do, mimicking, which, you know, it's not something they should be hunted for. And it's great what the Belize Bird Rescue is doing for them in terms of setting free 150 of them back into the wild. It's really great what they're doing, and I definitely applaud them for the amazing work they've been doing for the past several years.
Yeah, and we must also highlight the fact that they say that if you find a bird, because there's many times that we find little birds, they have either a broken wing or a leg, and we don't really know what to do with it, and they say that we can just take them to them, so that's really amazing.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Yeah, definitely, it's great to have these organizations where you could go to, for sure. And of course, I definitely also think another important thing that they highlighted in the video was here in Belize, there is that sort of culture of keeping these wild birds as pets. And it's definitely something we have a ways to go about eradicating that kind of culture, because like they mentioned in the video, you could put it in a cage, you could feed it all these amazing diets. But at the end of the day, they're still going to be wild animals that deserve to be in the wild.
That's right. And Guatemala is no different. I mean, I've been at the city, and when people know I'm from this part of Guatemala, where we have more forests, the first thing they say is, can you get me a parrot? And I'm like, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's definitely that sort of culture there that where, you know, it's cute. It's pretty. Let me keep it as a pet, you know. But the fact of the matter is that they belong out in the wild.
There are many animals that are domestic animals and which you can keep as pet. So why then adopting either a cat or a dog?
Mm-hmm. Totally. And yeah, just once again, great work what they're doing at the Belize Bird Rescue. We're talking about how the World Wide Fund has evolved throughout the years by not only focusing efforts on single species, but also creating strategies to prevent biodiversity and achieve sustainable development across the world.
That's exciting. As in our communities, we have NGOs doing great initiatives for protection of species, such as jaguars, parrots, and more.
In the case of Belize, we have the Belize Bird Rescue. What's unique about them is, in my opinion, they rescue, rehabilitate, and release residents and migratory birds in Belize. In the scene in the images, they also provide avian veterinary services and medical care.
It's great to hear what these local organizations are doing, each in their own way. For example, the Belize Bird Rescue offer a sanctuary for birds who can no longer be released because of issues such as missing wings, feet issue, and compromised vision. Moving on to an organization in Guatemala, Wildlife Rescue and Conservation Association, also known as ARCAS, believe that the key is addressing the root of the cause of wildlife trafficking and other environmental problems. This initiative is both environmental, educational, and sustainable community development at the same time.
So according to their website, during the seasons of April to August, ARCAS receives anywhere from 20 to 80 animals per week because of confiscation by the police, and 80% of those are primates and scarlet macaws. So something that I find pretty neat is that lots of social media platforms are actually taking it upon themselves to, you know, jump in on the initiative as well. I know that Instagram, for one, is actually doing this thing where they actually take down posts where you might have people who are posing with wildlife, like endangered species, because their aim is to not get across the idea that lots of these endangered species have them just be used as props or as like a cool background for their selfies, you know. So that's one way larger social media platforms are doing their part to help out with this initiative. I know that a lot of other larger influencers can also do their part by, you know, just putting it out there, you know, this is an endangered animal. Don't go ahead and, you know, just use this as a pretty background, because I feel like that's what happens in a lot of scenarios where people unintentionally, they might not mean to, you know, objectify these animals really as just use them as
props.
Yeah, props really. They're really unaware of what they're doing really, because when in fact there's a real importance to come with taking pictures with these animals. And you know, it's cool what Instagram is doing, it's cool what a lot of larger platforms are doing, and of course there's still so much that other larger influencers can do as well.
That's nice. I really didn't know Instagram had that feature.
I didn't know that either. It's pretty cool that that's a thing that they're doing, and let's hope that more larger apps get on board with that sort of thing.
Yeah, most definitely.
All right, so coming up, we have a very informative video regarding local initiatives taking place in Guatemala to protect wildlife, so stay tuned.
Welcome to ARCAS, a wildlife rescue and rehabilitation centre. Founded in 1990 by four Guatemalans who had an idea and a dream to help the native species survive. And after the last 31 years, it's become a place where wildlife can get that second chance. Many Guatemalan species are in demand as pets around the world. ARCAS works together with the government to receive animals confiscated from this illegal trade. Thousands of animals of over 40 different species has passed through its doors, with the majority being able to be released back into the wild. Its dedicated team of staff, interns and volunteers have all helped over the years to refine our rehabilitation processes through both research and fieldwork, constantly improving as we continue learning about these species. We know that when we open that gate, we've given those animals their best chance of surviving in the wild, and their time with us is complete as we say our final goodbyes.
Oh, it was a pretty cool video. What were your thoughts on it?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I loved it. And it's like, you can relate it a lot to the previous one we saw, but this is from Guatemala, and the previous one was from Organization of Belize. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool to know that both countries are trying their best.
I love to see it. Something that really caught my eye is that they mentioned that a lot of the key roles that take place over in Arcas are basically, it's a lot of volunteer work and a lot of interns. I think it's pretty cool that if you just have lots of free time on your hands and helping wildlife is one of your many passions, I would definitely encourage anybody out there to go out and, you know, maybe experiment in that field, do some cool work with the animals, see maybe that's your calling, you might never know. I think Belize Bird Rescue also functions a lot with the help of volunteers, and they receive a lot of donations as well. So there's lots of opportunities for both Guatemalans and Belizeans to go ahead and, you know, pursue a field in that work.
Indeed. And I mean, most of the times we want to help, but we don't know how. And I mean, if that's how you feel now, well, this is your call. Go volunteer now.
Definitely. And another cool thing I like about, I think, both organizations is that both organizations really started up with just a few people having that passion for wildlife. So definitely, it's great to see what amazing things can come about just having such a great passion and a vision for doing better for these wildlives and the natural environment. And of course, you don't also have to reinvent the wheel. You don't have to start up your own organization, but you can also go help out at one of these many organizations that already exist. I know a lot of them need our help, really.
Indeed. I mean, we always say we want to change the world, so why don't we start with small things?
Exactly. Love it. So as we saw, our actions reflected by these endangered lists, which make me think that our ancestors had a deep connection to the land and respect for the natural resources that many of us up to this day practice and has been a key role in the protection of our natural resources.
As we near the end of this episode, we must ask ourselves, what can we do about those issues?
So as a young person myself, we have the time and energy to help these endangered species of our communities by getting involved, sharing information about the problems, and even volunteering with these organizations whenever we have free time. So like we mentioned before, definitely go out there. Any free time that you may have, volunteer, sign up to volunteer, ask, hey, what is it I can help to do? You know, I'm pretty sure all of these organizations need volunteers, but in the case that they don't need volunteers, they're also a great person to go to for information. Like, hey, what should I do if I ever come across a bird who's like injured? You know, they could be like, here's our contact information, or you could do this. They're also a great source of just knowing what to do in certain situations involving injured wildlife. So another way we can actually help out is by putting a bit of pressure on our local governments and helping them understand and treat or change their perspectives and see wildlife as a resource to be protective and managed instead of a threat. For example, ensuring that there are laws and consequences for illegal commerce and species for even products elaborated with such elements as parrots, feathers, and butterfly wings.
There are many cases that show how to properly manage the natural resources and wildlife in our communities, with tourism and managed hunting. And I'm sure right now our viewers are coming up with new ideas of what can be done.
So this can include reporting. For instance, if you see or know someone that is selling wildlife on social media or in your communities, denounce it to the local authorities.
That's a great first step for us to ensure the survival of all those endangered species. Since often we see people on social media sharing images of themselves posing with wildlife without knowing that in many cases they have been illegally taken from the wild and kept in captivity.
So we have reached the end of this episode, and as always, we hope that you learned something new and that this information gives us hope to help and assist the recovery of all these endangered species.
I totally agree with you. Now, I'm ending this episode thinking of what I can do on my part to help. We'd like to thank the Spanish Agency of International Development Cooperation and the Organization of American States for the space of dialogue between the youth of Belize and Guatemala.
Right, and thank you to our lovely audience for tuning in today. We invite you to follow us on Twitter at @OEA_BelizeGuate.
We invite you to share topics that you would like us to cover in our next episode. Stay tuned for more. Subscribe to receive notification about the next episode of The Zone Podcast.